The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Good morning. This is Beverly Singer, Registrar Specialist with the Child Care Council of Orange County, located at 40 Matthew Street in Goshen, New York. The Child Care Council is your community resource. It's a county-wide resource for those who live in Orange County. If you're looking for quality child care, if you are a provider who needs assistance, whether it be with our infant toddler specialist, our infant toddler behavioral specialist, our preschool specialist, of course, our food assistance program, and so much more. We're our registrars, of course, of which I am one. We are in the office Monday through Friday and available to take your questions, speak about issues and concerns, and hopefully keep you as a provider in the right direction. We're going to do things a little bit in reverse today, as I have a guest who's waiting to speak to us. And it was quite fortuitous that the last recent news update that just preceded this show talked about RSV, which is a respiratory illness, and about how the country in certain spots is seeing a spike as of late. And my guest today, who is our healthcare consultant, will be spending a few minutes with us. We're very fortunate to have her. She is exceptionally busy, and we appreciate her time. So, Jen Warm, are you on?
I am on, Bev. Nice to see you and hear you.
Nice to virtually see you as well. In my head, I have an image of you, but oddly enough, you're wearing an evening gown and cowboy boots. I don't know how to talk about that. Listen, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and a great holiday.
You did. I hope you did too.
We did. Thank you so much. I don't know if you heard the news before we came on today.
They did talk
about that spike in RSV and how that's becoming the leading cause of hospital stays now, right behind, of course, COVID and the flu. We noticed it at the Child Care Council, and of course, we're only as good as the information we're provided. And, fortunately, as our infant toddler specialist and behavioral specialist goes out, and Tara and Sally Ann, and of course, Sandy as well, who's our preschool specialist and resource specialist, that they are definitely seeing a spike in daycares. Yeah. So to me, it seems like across our 200 plus providers in the county, this might be something of concern. So first, I would like you to briefly, if you could, describe what RSV is, and if you could get out of the acronym first and tell us what those letters mean.
Absolutely. So RSV is a respiratory syncytial virus, which is extremely contagious in adults and in infants. And it presents a little bit differently in both. But it's mainly spread by droplets, which means that it's infectious, that it can get into a person's respiratory tract and mouth. It's sprayed into the air, and then the droplets meet the other person's mucous membranes in their nose or their eyes. And it's worth remembering, you can also catch the virus by kissing. An infected person is usually contagious for about 3 to 8 days, but they can be infectious up to 2 days before the onset of symptoms. So before they even feel sick, they can be sick and spread it to people 2 days prior. So that's kind of very interesting as well.
So if you run a daycare, say,
yep,
and you have 100 children registered in your daycare, from infants through, school-aged children,
Yep.
The group that's most at risk are infants, you're saying?
Correct. Infants are most at risk because usually the parents have gotten an injection before they've given birth to their children. So that actually is very helpful to make sure that you get vaccinated. And especially if you're an older person, there are vaccines now for older people because older people also are extremely at risk. But for daycare especially, make sure that we continue to wash our hands, make sure that we continue to have the children wash their hands. It's the same thing as when we were having the COVID spread and the COVID outbreaks. They're thinking a lot at this point that it's related to the non-COVID protocols that we used to follow, that we're no longer kind of following in daycare programs. Some people still are, which is amazing, but the spike is now usually due to the fact that we're not following those strict COVID protocols, like strict masking and those kind of things when we see a spike in our areas.
So would it be advisable, let me just ask you, for you, as you're obviously, you know, you're a nurse and you're in the hospital, but because I've noticed a drop in mask wearing. It doesn't seem to me like anybody's wearing a mask anymore. Would you suggest if we could to kind of get back to that protocol, at least for the grown-ups in
the
room?
Season. I'm just saying yes. I think washing our hands, putting on a mask will absolutely decrease the amount of virus that's being spread around. I highly recommend it, especially if we now go to the CDC website and look at the COVID numbers in our area. And it would just be the same thing. If we are in a red zone in our areas, because we can go onto the CDC website and look up by zip code where we are, and if we're in a high-risk zone, yes, we should be masking again. Yes, we should be following those very strict COVID protocols. And I'm not saying follow them forever. I'm just saying follow them for the season. And the cold and flu season that we have, the cold, flu, COVID, RSV season that we're going into, lasts usually from August is when we start getting our flu shots, right? So that's the start of it. And the end is usually in May. So September, at the end of August, beginning of September is when it starts. That's when we get our flu shots and things. That's when they're starting to be offered. And that's when the season starts. And it usually ends in May.
And children
can... Not for the whole time. But if we see a spike in the area, yes, I would highly recommend going back to masking and doing those strict regulations and protocols just for now.
So a child in... In utero, they're given a vaccine for this.
Not the child itself, but yes, they will receive the benefits from the parents.
From the parents. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, wasn't sure about that. Now, what about children? Do children also get the RSV vaccine or?
Yes, they do. When they are born, they get an RSV shot. And then when you get into your 60s, you get another one.
Yes, I know. I have the pleasure of becoming a 60-year-old in February, and I was told I couldn't get my RSV vaccine before then, so I am taking extra care to make sure that happens. Now, I'd like to move on. I know we're going to be taking a break in a minute or two, but I'd like to move on about some misconceptions about this one concerns, and this is a possible misconception, but this question comes up in terms of milk products, dairy products, and mucus. If you have a cold and you're mucusy or you have RSV, should you stay away from dairy products?
Well, actually, dairy products, I mean, even though they're not going to be harmful to you, it can actually increase the amount of mucus you get. It just happens at the beginning. So, you know, they recommend drinking more fluids such as Gatorades and water and things like that that will keep you hydrated. Milk products are good for keeping your, you know, for keeping your vitamin D and vitamin C's and that kind of stuff up, but not as much as you want to kind of thin out the mucus when you have a cold. So the best things to do that are clear liquids, things that you can see through, and not necessarily dairy products, although, you know, they're not harmful. They're not going to really be too helpful either. So there is a little bit of truth to that. Yes, it can increase it just a little bit. So if you want to avoid dairy products just during that time, it would be just advisable because you'll start to see, even like singers, they usually tell singers, don't drink milk before you sing. It coats everything and it makes it harder.
Right.
It can be the same kind of thing. It'll kind of produce a little bit more mucus and kind of make you feel a little bit more yucky. So just avoid that during having cold or flu or COVID or RSV at the time, and just drink those clear fluids.
Right. I know it's like the power of chicken soup. It's so funny because, you know, this time of year, you know, we've finished up the turkey. The last of the pie is away. And, you know, you always have somebody who decides, let's make a big pot of turkey noodle soup.
And absolutely. And they've actually done studies on it and found that, yes, it can be helpful.
Unless, of course, if my mother made it and refused to wrap her turkey carcass up in gauze and there were bones in the soup. But my mother said she did that to keep us on her toes. That's another story for another day. So she also there was an intense dislike from my stepfather, and I'm sure there was something subliminal there, or boiling under the surface, as they say. So
right.
Here's the thing. If you don't know, you know, the symptoms don't necessarily present themselves. You said like a few days before you could have it and not even know.
Not
so obviously, same thing with COVID. So what are parents to look for? And actually, you know what, Jen, hold that thought because I think we're going to a station break. Please stay with us. This is Beverly Singer from the Child Care Council. Thank you.
Consider your own home-based childcare business and be your own boss by providing quality care for the children and families in your community. The Child Care Council works with those who want to operate their own home-based childcare business. For answers to all your questions on how to become a registered family daycare provider in Orange County, from online orientation to receiving your registration and everything in between, please visit childcarecouncil.oc.org. Be listening Thursday, December 30th at 4 p.m. for the Jimmy Sturr Polka Session Christmas, brought to you by Paul Raskevich.
WTBQ. Thank you so much for sticking with us. This is Beverly Singer, Child Care, with the Child Care Council. I'm a registrar specialist, and I have the pleasure of still having Jen Warm, who is our healthcare consultant, on the phone with us, and we're talking briefly. Again, this is for parents and providers, families, if you have children or you are an adult. Important to talk about RSV because we are seeing a spike, actually a spike across through New York State, and it again is the third leading cause of hospital stays of this type of illness. So, Jen, before the break, I was asking you, if no symptoms present themselves, how are parents... Okay, let's take a step back first. So if I'm a daycare provider, so, you know, regardless of the modality, I'm a daycare provider and I have a child who I know has RSV, I'm not letting them into the program, correct?
Correct, you're not. Nope, you're not going to let them stay, just like if they had the same symptoms of COVID. And the problem is you can't really distinguish whether they have COVID, a cold, the flu, or RSV unless you go to the doctor and they specifically test you for those things and let you know exactly what you have. Because the signs and symptoms are very similar in all of those things, list that I just said. So it's very important to look out for certain signs and symptoms and then get treated appropriately. Because, again, you're not going to know what you have until you're tested for it. So they can, for RSV, do a PCR test, which is the same kind of test they do when they have COVID. They can put the little swab up your nose, and they can get the test right away and tell you you have RSV or don't have RSV. And they can also do the antigen test, which is the one that's the one that they do very quickly. And the PCR takes a little bit longer. That's the one that the doctor calls you in a few days to tell you, yes, you have COVID or yes, you have RSV. So you might have to wait a little bit for those results, but you can absolutely get them from your doctor.
So parents really should, you know, expect to have your children home if they presented, and I really do implore parents across across our region,
and the infection lasts usually up to 2 weeks, just so they know.
Wow.
And then after those 2 weeks, they can go back to program with the blessing of their doctor or provider.
So up to 2 weeks.
Up to 2 weeks, you can be infected. Yes.
Wow, that really is something. And we understand. We are all working parents.
Yeah.
Even parents who work inside the home are working parents.
Right.
But you have to have the consideration of others, and it's so important to be mindful of your children. You're the best judge of how your children are feeling, even though they do spend a lot of time with their providers, in care. You want to work in concert with your provider. Don't disregard if your provider says to you, Mrs. Smith, Timmy seems to be exhibiting symptoms of XYZ.
Right.
That, it's so important that we deal with it. And in terms of medications,
we're going to treat the symptoms as far as medications go. It's not like they're going to prescribe any type of antiviral medication. You're not going to get penicillin or amoxicillin for this. It won't help you. So you're going to treat the symptoms. You're going to stay hydrated, drink lots and lots of fluids, because if you have to end up in the hospital, you'll end up with an IV. They'll have to hydrate you anyway. Reduce the fever. Make sure you take Tylenol, Motrin, whatever it is to help those symptoms. And it'll also help with the pain if you have any muscle cramps or muscle fatigue. Nasal drops will help kind of clear out if you want to, over-the-counter, or nasal spray, like a saline spray to clear out your sinuses. That will help. Some people use a neti pot or use sinus irrigation, and they believe that helps. If it works for you, great, use it. Humidifiers in the room. Make sure that you have a humidifier. It'll start to break down all of that chest congestion and mucousy stuff in the chest. Definitely helps with that.
I was going to ask you, Jen, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to ask you about the humidifier. I know some parents are reticent because they're always, I shouldn't say they're always afraid. I've spoken with parents in the past and they're worried about, like, I guess, mold spores forming if you don't clean them properly.
We're not going to use this for extended periods of time. Like, I'm not saying use it for your entire winter break. I'm just saying for the time that they're using it, clean it out per the manufacturer's instructions. But I would definitely use it for short periods of time, and hopefully it won't build up that mold. I would read the package insert and make sure that you follow the instructions on how to keep it clean.
Okay. Well, that's terrific. Is there any last words you'd like to, guess I do have one last
sure.
thing. I did an inspection, recently, and the provider didn't want to take the children out because they thought it was too cold. Bright and sunny. It was about 39 degrees, I would say. 30, I know that's very specific, but it was under 40.
Yep.
Over 30, brisk, what I'd consider a brisk, beautiful, bundle them up. We always were outside growing up. I know that's a common refrain from people of a certain age, but we were, honestly, unless it was, a flood or a blizzard, and we actually went out when it was snowing too, not necessarily a blizzard.
Take those kids outside, even if it's snowing. Get rid of those germs inside the house. Let them not spread. So they're outside, the better they are. They can stay outside as long as they can, keep them out.
Perfect. I think we're going to stop it right there, Jen. Listen, we wish you a wonderful holiday for you and your family, a blessed and bright one. And we'll hope
Thank
to get to see
me.
You. We'll hope to get to see you soon. I'll have the pleasure of having Jen at our holiday luncheon on the 8th. So we're looking forward to that, so I get to see you in person. And again, I know how busy you are, so I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for talking with me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Jen. We'll talk with you soon. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Take care. Bye-bye. So that was Jen Warm, our healthcare consultant at the Child Care Council. A healthcare consultant works with providers with their health care plan, which is a rather lengthy tome that they need to
all providers need to go through to develop the best strategies for caring for the children in their care. I just wanted to remind our listeners across all towns, valleys, villages, hamlets, etc., that today is Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday has been around for about a decade or so. It was started with the 92nd Street Y, which is a nonprofit organization that provides amazing programming for those fortunate enough to live in New York City, and also with the United Nations Foundation. And the way they figured it, by post-Thanksgiving, we've already started our holiday shopping, and we know that, you know, that need to consume becomes more and more rampant. We want everybody to take a step back, find something that they're passionate about. It could be anything from the giving blood to the Red Cross. If you happen to have a pint to spare, they always need it. There are so many organizations throughout your county and region. You can go look up local numbers through your county building chamber of commerce, which obviously that's counterintuitive because commerce is for profit, but you want to make sure that you find a charity that's right for you and give a little something back. Before we get going as well, I do want to remind our providers who are listening to us, if you haven't joined the Child Care Council as a member, why haven't you? We have fabulous opportunities for advocacy on both a local and state level. We are actually going to have a caravan going up to Albany in February to talk about the budget and how it affects child care throughout the county and state. And we're always interested in having providers, if they can spare them, tear themselves away, join us. We'll be speaking with legislators on that day. And it costs as little as $50 for group family up to a child care center, which is $125. So if you're interested, please reach out to the Child Care Council, 845-294-4012, and speak with Rita or speak with Rosemary, and we'll be happy to get you started as far as that's concerned. I do want to touch on our trainings for the month of December. We have our first one coming up, which is our Daycare Center Directors Network Group. We have a book discussion, and it's The Art of Coaching Teams by Elena Aguilar, and that's December 4th from 6:30 to 8:30, covers topics OCF of topics 3 and topics 5. Then Casey is hosting our, facilitating, she's a wonderful host, but this case she's facilitating our CPR and first aid and AED. That's December 12th from 5:30 to 8. Nine members are 125. Members are 90. There's good enough reason alone to join the Child Care Council. That's a significant savings. And lastly, we have our Infant Toddler Network Group. And we've got guest speakers from the Early Intervention Services. That's December 18th from 6:30 to 8:30. And that also covers OCFS topics 3 and 5. And again, these are for child care providers, unfortunately not for the general public, but CPR and first aid, always a wonderful thing to have. And we do encourage you, if you haven't had it, please look at the Red Cross as well. They offer it too. Please reach out to us again. We're going to be back on the air the 26th, so right after the Christmas holiday. But again, we're always online, childcarecouncil.oc.org. Give us a holler, 845-294-4012. Next month, I'm going to delve into child care subsidy, and hopefully we'll have the pleasure of maybe having Tanya and Jessica on with me, who are our legally exempt specialists. Did you know a family member can care for your child possibly and get paid for it? God, get grandma involved with that. Until we meet again next month, I'm Beverly Singer with the Child Care Council in Goshen, New York. Be safe and have a blessed holiday season. Thank you.